watch cartoons. We'll take a look back at where we've been. So let's hop into our time machine.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Cartoon Time Machine. I'm Scarlett.
I'm Katie.
We're your animates, and today's episode is going to be focused on animated guilty pleasures.
I had no idea.
Gasp, yes. I actually surprised Katie with all of our topics. We don't actually discuss it in advance.
Yeah, it's definitely not me who flips the topics around all the time, so no one fully knows what's happening. I didn't say 5 hours ago what they were actually going to record this week.
Well, we've had this one in mind for a little while. For the purposes of this episode's discussion, I feel like we can be a little loose with what makes a guilty pleasure, because I'm going to be honest, Katie, I don't love the term, because I feel like, you know, it implies that, like, you should feel at least a little bad for liking something, and I feel like that's not really the case. Like, I think people should be empowered to love whatever they like.
I use it as terminology to explain my subcategories of favorite film, because I hate the question. Which, any if you tell anyone you were a film major, you get hit with the question, well, what's your favorite movie? And then you stare at them blankly going, you think I can pick one that I've designed
so
into
true.
Categories?
Literally today, I was asked the question, what's your favorite movie? And I had to, like, go through my categories of favorite movies.
Yeah, because you're like, here's my favorite, like, traditional film. Here's my favorite documentary, my favorite animated film. I can keep my favorite international film. I can go for a while, people. I do have my favorite. If someone wants, like, a movie, I think they don't want to get art housey, I'm like, all right, I'll give you my guilty pleasure film. I think you'll enjoy this. It's Pitch Perfect. I've seen it too many times. It's a guilty pleasure for the fact it just brings me comfort. And I know it is, I'm like, I've watched so many highbrow movies. This is not a highbrow movie. It's still a good movie because I enjoy it.
I feel like guilty pleasure is movies that you enjoy just for the sake of enjoyment, and you don't necessarily need to defend as a work of art, you know?
No, I just look and go, it's my comfort movie. Back off. Kendrick on screen, I'm watching it.
I feel like it counts as anything that you enjoy that you feel the need to defend, I feel like is what it is. So honestly, I think it's more just a controversial pick than anything. It's something that is maybe your hot take that you enjoy this, that maybe the general public has not caught on to why it is so good. Like, you wouldn't say, like, Beauty and the Beast is a guilty pleasure, because, like, everyone is on board with that. Like, pretty much universal, it is a truth universally acknowledged. Everyone likes that movie. But for a guilty pleasure, I feel like it's something that you would need to explain yourself maybe a little bit, or the opposite, you can't explain yourself. It's just, it's good and you like it, and that's the end of how you can describe it. So Katie, with that said, would you like to start us off with what your first guilty pleasure cartoon is?
Should I go with the elephant in the room? I have one very clear overall comfort,
please,
guilty
lead,
pleasure
lead
of a
in,
cartoon.
Lead in the elephant.
The elephant is how much I truly enjoy all of SpongeBob.
So I think there's a few seasons for which that's not necessarily a guilty pleasure, but I assume when you say all, you mean all.
Here's the thing. If especially when, you know, it is one of those that I have watched on four. There are a couple seasons that are good. It's still one of those that is like, SpongeBob feels like a guilty pleasure show simply even in the early seasons, because while it's pretty good, it also is still a little bit below our reading level.
Fair. I think even as a kid, I felt that it was below my reading level, but I
exactly.
loved it.
But yeah, I have seen enough of seasons 5 through 8, and I won't, in certain scenarios, I will not skip those. And those are not great seasons. 5 through 8 is a little rough.
I mean, I think any show that goes on as long as SpongeBob has, it's sort of going to, by default, have its rough years.
And I think we all know that, you know, we all appreciate SpongeBob and what it did for our little brains. It's addled my brain. I just work in SpongeBob references. The whole way I describe how my brain works is simply one large SpongeBob reference.
Or several small ones all piled together.
Exactly. It's just a bunch of little secretary SpongeBobs going through filing cabinets, answering phone calls.
I
Sometimes one
mean,
of them doesn't show up for work.
no, but what
And then we're
that?
missing a whole department.
I love this. I feel like SpongeBob in so many ways just has, for a lot of us, defined a generation of comedy, but I feel like you have taken it to the next level because out of everyone in our age cohort, I think you've probably seen the most SpongeBob just by virtue of having watched those middle seasons in which we were aging out of it.
This comes down to the factor, especially of in our group of friends, I'm on surprisingly the odd side of being one of the few older siblings, and I had a brother right at those ages to still be in it for seasons 5 through 8.
That's a good point. Yeah. I think a
So
lot of our friend group were are either only children or younger kids who the cartoons stopped when we wanted them to stop.
yeah. So I've seen a lot of SpongeBob through that. But also it was you know, you could always guarantee if you're homesick or were like during COVID when I had a lot of time and I couldn't pick any other show, I could just turn on Nickelodeon and it'd be 18 hours of SpongeBob. Back to back
Nickelodeon
to back.
really, I feel like back in the day, but also I think probably still now, it really often was just like 12 hours straight of SpongeBob.
And sometimes you don't know what you want to watch and you're not feeling great, so you just put on SpongeBob because it makes you feel better.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. No, I think
And
that's
I
really
fully do have the Now That We're Men song stuck in my head because that's the first thing that my brain decides to loop.
I think I'm willing to add to the guilty pleasures list the second SpongeBob movie. Because the first one doesn't belong in a guilty pleasures list. The first one is perfect,
Oh,
and I think
good.
we all agree. The second one, I'm not gonna say I like loved it, but I would watch it again. Like
That's the
I
one
had
where they go on land, right?
that is the one where they go on land, and that is the worst part of it when they do the CG on land thing. But that is only the last third of it. I'm just here for that one gag where they are like we talked about this on the pod when we reviewed it like a year ago, where they are there's some kind of apocalyptic scenario and everything's normal at first and they're all like, oh, like what do we do now? And then it's immediate smash cut to everyone in the exact same position, but they're all in like Mad Max gear all of a sudden and everything is red. I'm here for that one gag. That one
I'm
gag
with you. Second
instantly makes
movie
that
is a
movie
guilty
for me.
pleasure. I've seen it a couple times.
Yeah, it's again, it's guilty pleasure because like it the quality is nowhere near what that first movie was. The first movie made me cry. The first movie made me cry at SpongeBob and Patrick quote unquote dying. Sorry if that's spoilers for the SpongeBob movie, but come on,
Which came out
it's 20 years old at this
20.
point. I want to say that was came out in 2004. I feel like I was 5 or 6 when I saw it in theaters.
Oh man, that's rough. That's rough.
Yeah, roughly around that time period. But yeah, sort of speaking of Nickelodeon and their cartoons, my elephant in the room, as it were, I'm gonna throw Penguins of Madagascar in there because
What?
every now and then I have to do that. Because every few years I do find myself going back to it because it was, as I think I've mentioned on this podcast before, that was like my jam as a kid. For some reason, I just like attached to that show like a baby duckling that is imprinted on a human. Like that was kind of me in that show for some reason that I cannot fully articulate. And it's not great. Like I going back to it, like I can see the quality is not great. But I still have a ton of fun with it. Like I think just I like the earnestness of it with which it takes a ridiculous premise and just kind of rolls with it and takes itself way more seriously than it ever needed to, which I think honestly is probably why young me got so into it, is that young me didn't realize that it was ridiculous. Young me just was invested in this drama about penguins. So yeah, not much else to say about it except that I it's definitely guilty pleasure, and that cartoon is not going down in the annals of cartoon history as a particularly great show. Unlike SpongeBob, it didn't have like a few early seasons that everyone watched and everyone agreed on. I think honestly, most people don't even remember it, or if they do, it's just like a vague, background in their childhood. But for me, it was an important part of my childhood, and I will occasionally look back on it fondly. So I'm gonna call that my guilty pleasure win.
Yeah, and if enough people reach out to our social medias and give us attention, we will release the fan fictions.
I did not agree to that. I this th this has this has not been sanctioned by me.
Yeah, and
I object
too
in the strongest
bad.
of terms.
Too bad.
I can't do anything else because Katie controls our social media, and so does our producer Rachel, and both of them hate me, so there's not too much I can do to stop this other than just hope and pray that no one in any authority figure over me finds it. Oh
Look,
boy.
visual medium, this show is not. I just did two thumbs up.
Ah, you'll be the death of me, Katie. Do you have another one?
Yeah, so this is one I know it's not a guilty pleasure anymore, but this was a guilty pleasure while I was younger, would be one of my go-to afternoon cartoons when I first got home from school, because there's that like hour and a half where not the good cartoons aren't on yet. And I was a child who finished the majority of my homework in the school day. I always managed to find the time to get it done, so I didn't have a lot to do when I got home.
See, my teacher used to always give us homework at the end of the day so that we couldn't even like they wanted us to have to do it at home. I hear people talking about like having homework time in class, and I wish we'd had that. Like we got handed our worksheets on our way out the door.
But probably through like middle school. In that hour and a half where you didn't have like the good cartoons, my go-to would often be PBS and watching like Arthur. It's like this is below my learning level, but I enjoy watching the show.
Arthur's great. Arthur slaps so hard. I love
It's great,
Arthur.
but there's a point where you go, I'm not the target audience for this, and here we are.
No.
I'm just gonna lounge while I have no homework to do.
I feel like now just rubbing in the no homework thing. I think that was that your ulterior motive in bringing this one up is talking about
No, I
the
was
greatest
also one of the.
childhood you had?
I don't know what your gifted kid class otherwise categorized as. New kids are a little special. And in your neurodivergent ways, go somewhere else to do your weird math. And it
I
was
was
just
never
time in
smart
that.
enough to be in the gifted program.
They gave me time in a computer lab. Not everyone got that in my middle school.
The only quote unquote gifted activity I had is it's to speaking of the neurodivergent, I had the book club of kids who would read during recess, and the teachers felt bad for us, so they just made us a formalized book club so that we would stop being the weird kids who read books at recess on the playground and would start being the weird kids who sat inside a classroom during recess and read books. And then a friend and I basically just turned it into a Neil Gaiman book club after a while, because they kept asking for recommendations on what to read next, and we read Coraline as our first book. And my friend and I got really into that, so we just sort of kept on keeping on. And we're the only ones who gave opinions, so that was how we formed that.
Nerd.
Yeah, but all of this to say, I still had homework after school. I was not gifted, so I took a lot of time on my homework, and it was hard for me. So I did not get to watch PBS after school. I don't really think I got weekday TV until I was a little older. I think I didn't have permission to do that. And
Was
also,
usually in the
my
period
ADHD
where
was
I.
split.
That was usually in the age at one point where I was trusted to be home alone also for like the first hour after school.
That's your old
Like,
that's your older sibling energy talking. I was the last one in.
yeah, no, because you hit the age of like 8 or 10, and then you're finally like, you can keep yourself alive for the hour before I get home, your parents say. And they go, here's a key to get into the house, take the bus home. Good luck. Don't die. And I didn't. So.
What? You
Still
didn't?
here, but I do have the gifted kid burnout, so I did get that from those classes.
Yay, burnout. I'm glad it had some positive impact.
Yeah. No homework and burnout.
But no, Arthur's a good show. I feel like it was just charming, and I like the musical numbers. I still every time I go to the library, I think of the library's card song. You know, the having fun isn't hard when you've got a library card. I don't know, like that's burned into my brain. It's
Yeah.
again probably below the learning level that we were at when we were watching that, but like and it currently is, and yet I cannot find myself looking through the stacks without also thinking, and don't forget the Dewey Decimal System is your friend.
Well, I from a very young age decided, wait, what's this stupid thing that society says that you must enjoy content that's at your level as deemed by society? That's stupid, because I had friends in the same grade who made fun of me for wanting to con I liked reading the Magic Treehouse stuff, that book
Yeah, those
series.
look great.
Yeah, and so like if I was to like third or fourth grade, and I was like, it was right towards the end of them coming out, and I was just like, you finish out of the reading, you're like, I want a quick read. I enjoy these. You're like, and they tried to make fun of me, and I was like, I'm reading it because I like it, so f you. Up. Sorry, that's the first time in a long time I've made you bleep me.
Fine, I'll actually edit this week.
Sorry, I'm usually
There you
pretty
go.
good at this.
You are.
I have a lot of vitriol for those kids. They were
I was
bullies.
gonna say, I'll give you the pass, because if there is any theme of this show, it's that you're never too old to watch cartoons. So
Indeed, truly, and I've held that vitriol all the way to my current life to continue to say that to everyone. Don't let people tell you you can't watch what you like. Also, I've been really good at becoming a Long Island mom lately.
I feel like life is just too short not to enjoy what you enjoy.
I thought you were going to be too short to not become a Long Island mom.
I mean, yes, that too. I think, if you have the opportunity to become a Long Island mom, you should.
Unfortunately, we discover in this podcast episode finally that one of my problems when I'm doing things quite tired is I will just slip into accents.
I don't mind this. I like your accents. But yeah, I mean, speaking of things that life is too short to hate just because people say you should. I'm gonna throw Teen Titans Go into the ring. And I'm gonna not necessarily say it's a guilty pleasure, because I have not seen like all of it, because it's been on for a really long time now and there's a lot of episodes. There's some really funny episodes in there. There is some laugh out loud bits that I enjoy. And I will fully say, when they announced that this show was coming out, I was so totally on the bandwagon of Cartoon Network, why are you destroying my childhood? I loved the original Teen Titans. I still do love the original Teen Titans. It was like the thing that got me into superheroes in general. It inspired a lifelong love of DC. Like, there's a lot there that I love, and it did feel like a betrayal that they would turn something that was kind of dark and serious and atmospheric at times into something that was pure absurdist goofball comedy. But you know what? Gosh darn it, they did a really good job at that absurdist goofball comedy. There's an episode where they're all sock puppets, and I like that. It's funky. It's weird. They have a lot of references in there to like existing DC characters and films, and I don't know. I really enjoy it, and I know the world is saying that I should not, and I say to that world, let me enjoy what I want to enjoy. This is a lot of fun, and when clips pop up in my YouTube algorithm, I generally watch them. I feel like, there's we often we want what we can't have, like I think this was also, part of what I remember when Legend of Korra first came out, like people not wanting change. They say they want something fresh and new, but what they really want is exactly the same thing. And if it's not, I think there are things that can not live up to the original and still be good on their own merit. Like, there's plenty of sequels out there that are very different from the original and not as good as the original, but maybe that's too high a standard. I'm one of those people who really likes Avengers Age of Ultron, and I think part of the reason people are so hard on it is because it's not as good as the first Avengers, which, sure, that's absolutely true, but that doesn't change the quality of it in and of itself. Like, I hate seeing that in like Rotten Tomatoes reviews, where like people like say like this you know, pales in comparison to the original. Like, okay, well, maybe don't compare it to the original. Enjoy it on its own regard. I see your cat agrees with me.
He does. He also
It's
wants now.
that's a cat for you.
I feel like you want a little soapbox there, and I may or may not have zoned out.
Yeah, a little
Age of
soapbox.
Ultron was what I really zoned back in.
Yeah, which tells you how far away I strayed from my original point, which is I like Teen Titans Go. I'm not ashamed to say it. There was a long chunk of time where I was ashamed to say it back when it first came out, and I was like gonna hate watch it because like that's what edgy teenagers do. I was like, oh, this children's show. Let me just watch a few episodes so I'll have things to complain about online. And then I watched it and enjoyed it. I was like, oh, well, I don't know what to say now. I laughed a whole bunch of times, so guess I can't hate it, but also I will live in my shame closet and not admit that for several years. And now I'm out of the shame closet, and I'm gonna say it's a good fun show. And if anyone out there listening chose not to watch it because they had pride in the original Teen Titans, I understand you, and it's totally valid to like this show less. I certainly like it less. It is fun. It is a lot of fun. They had an episode where they meet their voice actors. That was really cute.
That's fun.
And in accordance with last week's episode, Ashley Johnson is in it. So that should be
Yay.
an automatic seal of approval.
There you go. The only other show I could think of in the pre-build, because I haven't watched a lot of shows in a while recently, where I'm like, I feel like I should, that I feel guilt or shame for finding this enjoyable. Mostly because we watch a lot of good stuff. There's not a lot of bad animation out there right now. But they're the one that I feel like society is like, why? And I go, I have no shame or guilt for this. Is watching Bluey. It's like, yes, I know this is a show for young children. Look at it. It's gorgeous.
It's perfect.
Made me cry.
Any adult who's not watching Bluey just because it's a children's show is like, if that's the only reason that you are stopping yourself from watching Bluey, you are missing out. Go watch Bluey.
If I were to give a guilty pleasure to Bluey, it would be how many times I've watched the cricket episode. I have a little bit of shame for how many times I've seen that singular episode.
My guilty pleasure shame might be how many times I've watched Sleepy Time and cried, because I feel like there should be a limit to the number of times you can cry at no dialogue in a 7-minute short for 3-year-olds. And I think it's every time I've watched it now, I've cried a little bit. So yeah, that's maybe something that I'm not ashamed of it, to be clear. I will say I am not ashamed. I might not admit that in polite company, but I'm not ashamed.
As you tell it to a number of people now.
Yeah, but I'm telling it to like a group that I think widely agrees with me, so I feel okay with this.
Okay.
Also, I cry at a lot of things.
You do,
I cry.
you're a crier.
I cried this morning while working out listening to the Six soundtrack.
That's a lot.
So yeah, that's
Wow, you're finally out of your Hazbin Hotel moment.
the Hazbin Hotel moment will return.
It
It's
will return after these
only
commercial breaks.
the moment is taking a break, but it will return.
You
But yeah,
got
no,
any last
Bluey.
one?
I do, and I mean, I guess I'm a little bit breaking the mold because this one is technically a movie, but it's like kind of it's
That
almost a
counts.
direct-to-DVD movie, so I feel like it more or less fits the brief. Want to talk about Return to Neverland because no one has really seen this sequel to Peter Pan, and the people who have generally don't like it. And I'm willing to acknowledge that everything people say about it not being of good quality is probably true. It's not particularly well animated or voice acted. It's, you know, it was a made by the direct to video Disney team, although it did, I think, get a brief theatrical release. It was not made, not it didn't have a lot of budget behind it. And you know, it's a sequel to a beloved property, not just by the whole world, but I think specifically me. And I kind of admire the ballsiness of, you know how you say, like, sometimes you have to know the rules to break the rules. I feel like a lot of Peter Pan media misses the point of Peter Pan, being that it is about how the ephemeralness of childhood is what makes it beautiful, and that there is just one boy in the whole world, according to this lore, who will not grow up, and that's Peter Pan. And I think the original Disney Peter Pan movie missed that message. And I think it's not that this movie gets it right, but it is that it takes that message and kind of turns it on its head, and is actually much more about, yes, childhood is brief, but that's a thing to celebrate, and you should not rush to grow up. Like, the original Peter Pan is about how it is important for children to grow up, and Return to Neverland is about how it is important for them not to grow up too fast. I like the young protagonist, Jane, Wendy's daughter, who is living during the Blitz. Like, the movie opens with a really, like, dramatic scene where she is rushing through the streets of London during the Blitz, trying to get home in time for her baby brother's birthday. And, like, it's genuinely kind of dramatic. And she does not go to Neverland to be Peter Pan's mother. She goes with what her arc is about, becoming the first lost girl. Because the lesson she needs to learn is not accepting growing up the way it was for Wendy. The lesson she's learning is, even if you're a child during war, it's important to find opportunities to still be a child and be stupid and silly and enjoy yourself the way the lost boys are. So I kind of like that. Like, yeah, I like that it is the rare sequel that is not trying to tell the same story as the original. It's kind of telling the exact opposite story, and it knows that it is. And it wasn't an accidental choice, I feel like. I think someone who understood the lore of Peter Pan went in and said, okay, what if we told the opposite story? And I appreciate that. I really enjoy that. And there's still goofy Captain Hook. He's being chased by an octopus now instead of a crocodile. Don't ask me why. I think the crocodile is still alive at the end of the other one. They could have just brought the crocodile back. But for some crazy reason, they decided, we're gonna do an octopus now. And he still clicks. He just still does the ticking noise. But it's just his eyeballs moving up and down. I don't know. That's a wild decision. I can't say it was a good decision or a bad decision. It's just, it's a decision. Like, somewhere along the way, someone proposed, hey, remember that crocodile? What if we just didn't use the crocodile and used another animal that's functionally the same? I just find that bonkers and funny. So yeah, not a particularly high quality movie, but definitely one that has a very warm place in my heart, and I will defend and tell people to watch it. And even I will tell people to watch it, even knowing that they're going to come back to me and say, why did you tell me to watch that? That wasn't that good. And I'll be like, yeah, no, you're right. It wasn't that good, but I like it. And here's my soapbox why.
Yay, Scarlet Soapbox Hour.
I have so few opportunities to talk about Return to Neverland because, again, it's not that good. So it doesn't really belong in any other conversation. Like, it really shouldn't be compared to better movies. It's not fair to it. So, like, I don't have that many opportunities to talk about it. So I'm going to talk about it. I like this one.
I'm not stopping you. You're acting like I'm stopping you.
No, you are not stopping me. You're giving me enough rope to hang myself by, which I appreciate as always. But this is the end of my rant. But yeah, I think that'll do it for us, unless you have another one to contribute. No, to the
conversation. It's really hard to scratch the barrel for things that could be categorized as guilty pleasures.
I have
other things that I like to watch on a yearly-ish basis because they bring me pleasure, but they're not guilty. Over the Garden Wall is a consistent pleasure cartoon, yeah. But that's not guilty. I have no guilt for that.
I think what is nice about animation is that, unlike some other media, it's really hard to make something of absolutely no quality because animation is so difficult and takes so long that I'd say a greater proportion of what is put out is of at least middling quality. Like, there's very few animated shows or films that are absolute garbage. Like, there are some, of course, but, like, compared to the number of live action things that are absolute garbage, I feel like the proportion is much more favorable for animation.
Yeah, there's no Fast and Furious series of animation.
I mean, I'm sure there is, And I'm sure DreamWorks put it out, but
it's I'm not saying that Fast and Furious has an animated thing. I'm saying I don't know if there's a good equivalent. Well, I guess our producer, certain love with a certain DreamWorks animation film, actually does count as a guilty pleasure.
That's what I'm saying. We don't have that one. I feel like DreamWorks has produced some pretty bad stuff over the years. But then again, they also produce Penguins of Madagascar. So, you know, good stuff too.
I think for some people who will not listen to this, despite their involvement with this podcast, does have a guilty pleasure with Redacted. I'm not allowed to say the name.
Don't say the name. Don't say the name. Yeah, I feel like that first movie could also be on this list, but I didn't want to invoke your wrath.
The first one's all right.
Yeah, I'd call
then
that
the
a
rest
guilty.
happened.
Yeah, we won't talk about the rest.
Please get me out of this. We're building what could be a hellscape.
We're getting you out of this. Thank you so much for listening. Hope it is inspired
you're
you. Hope it's inspired you to check out some of these guilty pleasures, or maybe consider watching some things that you might have considered to be bad before, but maybe you're reevaluating now, and maybe there is some quality there after all. So
maybe you'll learn to like mushrooms. Your palate ages with time.
That is true. That is true. Go out there and find your mushroom, kids. That sounded very wrong. I'm Scarlett.
Katie.
We're your animates, and we will see you next time.